Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way. I've been having a cough ever since now for 3 weeks, but it's getting a little better, so I'm grateful for that. I'm glad to be able to come to you this morning. You tune me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. You tune me in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM, and in the Lowell area, 100.3 FM. And we're so glad that you tuned me in this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of Internet Radio at earsradio.com at 10. I welcome you. Those of you that's listening by way of my website is PastorKenHarger.com. You go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up over that series, and it'll say Current Media. And then you click on Current Media, and it takes you right to my broadcast for this morning. So whatever way you tuned me in, I'm glad you're here this morning, and we're excited about sharing this message. It's been a really rainy week down here at the lake. It's really on my land and so on. There's so much water that I had to make sure that I took the bigger quad to make sure I wasn't going to get stuck or something. But anyway, we'll do the very best we can this morning. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial support. So a thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband Spence. That was his nickname, and she's from Orleans. To Doug and Noreen Lane from family from the Sheridan area. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband Dave from the Greenville area. To Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area. And to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband Fran, and she's from Dayton, Tennessee. And I just appreciate each one of the sponsors so very much. Appreciate Kay Ann Kingsinger. She brought my music for this morning yesterday afternoon because I was late in getting it to her, and I appreciate her so much and the work that she does to provide my music for each week. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church in the Orleans campus, as we call it, or at Shiloh. Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, we have a 9 o'clock service, and then we have a contemporary service at 10:45. And in our Greenville campus at the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And we now have our intern minister, and that's Jim Lacey. Jim pastored in Greenville for about 13 years, and he's filling in until we find our new pastor, our new lead pastor. So we have a couple of pastors, but we need the lead pastor yet. And so Jim's going to be filling in. If you want to hear Jim again, come on over to Shiloh. He speaks Saturday night, and he also speaks to both services on Sunday morning. Well, I believe that takes care of the things I need to take care of as far as that is concerned, and I appreciate each one of you tuning me in, and we're going to listen to one of four messages. The next 4 weeks, I'm going to be talking about the kingdom of God. Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and I'm just going to kind of put them both together and just share some of the things that Jesus said about his kingdom. And today we're going to illustrate his kingdom by the ideas Jesus did, by the need of rebirth, need to be born again, and then that of a childhood, what happens in our life in those early days of our life. I love the way Jesus taught, so simple, and he explained the things that he had, and we realize that everybody didn't believe in him at that time, but at the same time, we realize that that's got to be something very special as he ministers to each one of us. So our first song is, you got to believe, you got to know this, you got to know this truth that I'm going to be sharing about in these next few weeks, because God's got a message he wants to share with you. So sounds like the music's ready to go, so we're ready to go. Here we go.
Nicodemus came to Jesus with a troubled mind, who was a ruler and a Pharisee. He had a feeling he was talking to the Son of God, but it was still a great mystery. Then Jesus talked about his kingdom and his spiritual birth, and Nicodemus knew the doubt had to go. 'Cause when you talk about a real salvation. You gotta know. You gotta know you're born again, saved forever, anchored in amazing grace. You gotta be like the fellow when he's saying, I can tell you the time and I can show you the place.
Cause when you talk about the original philosophy, it's easy come and easy go.
If you're working and you're striving for a heavenly home, you're never sure of what you believe. You gotta think so, hope so, kind of religion the devil has your mind deceived. Well, just remember Nicodemus and the lesson he learned. Trust Jesus and the doubt is to go. Cause when you talk about a real salvation, you gotta know. You gotta know you're born again, saved forever, anchored in amazing grace. You gotta be like the fellow when he's saying, I can tell you the time and I can show you the place.
Cause when you talk about religion or philosophy, it's easy come and easy go.
But when you talk about a real salvation, you gotta know. It's not about your thinking and how you can defend it. It's all about eternity and where you're gonna spend it. But when you talk about a real salvation, you gotta know. When you talk about a real salvation, you gotta know.
You gotta know, folks. You gotta know, and that's what we're gonna be talking about in these next 4 weeks as we understand the kingdom of God and what God wants to do in each one of our lives. Well, before we begin this morning, I'd like to have a word of prayer, and I'd like to remember our listening audience. That's who I did the study time for. That's why I'm over here to the Lighthouse, because I want to share this message with you at a listening audience in all the different areas where you're listening this morning. So let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Dear Father, I count it a privilege to come into your presence on behalf of others. And dear Father, this morning I'm thinking about the listening audience. As I'm sitting here at this microphone, there's other people listening on the other end. And Father, I don't know who they all are, and I don't know what all they've been going through this week. But I do know that some weeks are pretty special, and we rejoice. And some weeks have a lot of difficulty in them. So Father, I'm coming to you on behalf of the listening audience and praying that you will be pleased to bless each and every one. Whatever they're going through, some may be having some difficulty within the family unit, because that's common today. And we just ask, our Father, that you bless the families and bless the needs of the family according to your will. Others may, Father, have lost a loved one last week and they're going through a grief time, or maybe they lost a loved one a few weeks ago, or maybe even a long time ago. But this is that period of time when they're remembering that loved one. And we just ask, our Father, that you would be their source of comfort. You've promised that you're the God of all comfort, and you come alongside of us in these difficult times and stand with us. I want to pray for those that's going through some financial difficulty. Things have happened that's cost a lot more than they anticipated, or whatever it might be. We ask your special blessing to be upon all of those in the financial need this morning. Those that's in need of something physically, because they're going through a lot of difficulty, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of sleepless nights. Dear Father, I just pray that you'll be pleased to bless them and minister to them in a very special way. I pray for those that's in a nursing home or a foster home, that you would minister to them in a very special way. Come and honor your word now, Father, as we talk about your kingdom, something that was close to the heart of the Lord Jesus. And I thank you that you've put in your word this story that we have this morning to help us to understand what it means to be born again, that it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's an important thing. It's a thing that Jesus taught. It's something that Jesus shows us how and why it is necessary. So would you speak to our hearts this morning as we ask for you to come and honor your word? You've said your word does not return to you void. it accomplishes the purpose that you send it out for. So, Father, as you send it out over these stations this morning, I just pray you would accomplish your purpose. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, when Jesus came into this world, he came into what was called the Jewish form of religion. A lot of that came from the Old Testament, the laws that Moses gave, that God gave to Moses and Moses gave to the people. The laws of how to conduct yourself. There's many spiritual laws. There's many laws just telling you how to deal with God and how to deal with one another. But that entire Old Testament, folks, was an Old Testament of faith. In order to understand God and who he was and what he wanted to do, you had to have faith. When God said something, you had to have faith that God was going to accomplish what he said. I love claiming the promises of God. That's what that was just a moment ago when I said that God's word says he will not return void. It'll accomplish the purpose that God is sending it out for. So he wants to do something this morning with his word. And the way it works is no different than the way it was in the Old Testament. It's going to be by faith that we respond to that. Well, what happened through the Jewish way of laws and the things that God had given them, it turned into a religion. It was the Jewish religion. Nothing wrong with religion as long as it points to this one Jesus, because that's what God did all the way through the Old Testament. And nothing wrong with religion, but we realize it needs to have faith. But religion's unable to, just from what they had in the Old Testament, is unable to bring about what Jesus really wanted to accomplish. And not only what Jesus wanted to accomplish, but what God the Father wanted to accomplish when he talks about the kingdom of God. And it's illustrated by new birth. I've always loved the simplicity of Jesus' teaching. He takes something that we know a little about, and then he expands our information. He takes our understanding that we have, and then he expands our understanding. And that's what Jesus is going to do to a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is coming to Jesus. He was a religious leader. He was an important religious leader. And he came to Jesus at night. And you know that is told of him in the verses we'll use later on. It was Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. He probably came to Jesus at night because of the other religious leaders. He just wanted to have a little encounter himself about the Lord Jesus and who he was. And he wanted to try to understand what is happening because he knew things were very powerful that this one Jesus was doing. So he wants to know something about it. So he came to Jesus, and it's recorded to us in the book of John, chapter 3, early on in Jesus' ministry. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees. That was a big religious group in Jesus' day. The Jewish people were divided into two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The main difference between these two religious groups was the Pharisees believed in life after death, but the Sadducees did not believe in life after death. So Pharisee was named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a very important person. But he wanted to have a conversation with the Lord Jesus. And he came to Jesus by night, and he said this to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God." We, meaning the Pharisees, had talked about it, and they knew he was a teacher come from God. "Because no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly," he says, "I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" She's confused now with what Jesus is saying. He's coming and letting Jesus know that the Pharisees have been talking about him. and they know that he is come from God. And they know that the things, the miracles that he was doing, the teaching that he was doing, they said nobody could do this except God be with him. And I don't believe for a moment of time that Nicodemus ever thought he was going to hear Jesus say, I'm telling you the truth. I'm really telling you the truth. I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That word hadn't been used in that form of religion, born again. They didn't understand what that was. He'd never probably even heard that phrase before. You must be born again. Maybe there's some in the listening audience this morning that you've never heard that phrase before. Or if you have heard it, you've heard it in kind of a bad context because sometimes it's been misused. And so he's just confused. How can this happen? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born the second time. One of the things that became a part of Nicodemus's life is this statement that he came to Jesus by night. This is shared about him every time he's mentioned in the Bible, which we'll do some of those times a little later in our service. I want to start with what this man did know. He knew there was a need in his life. He was just questioning as he was thinking about the stuff Jesus was teaching and the things he was teaching, the things that he knew and the things that he was hearing from Jesus. And then on top of that, this one Jesus was doing all kinds of miracles and causing all kinds of people to be healed and to be many different things done in their life. And so he comes and he says, this we know. We know that you are a teacher sent from God. He knew that Jesus was a teacher. He called him rabbi. The other things he knew that he came from God, or else he couldn't do the things he was doing. So he must have also heard and known about the things that the Lord Jesus was doing. And so it has been a conversation amongst the Pharisees. But I really give this man credit. He wasn't just going to listen to the conversation of the Pharisees, kind of condemning this one Jesus. He was a little confused in his own life, so he said, you know what? I'm going right to Jesus. That's an important thing for you to get a hold of. You know, you don't go to another person. You don't go to the idea of another religion. What you do is you go to Jesus. Jesus is going to begin where Nicodemus is. And now he's going to expand his understanding. He's going to expand some information to him that this dear man probably had never heard before. I love the way Jesus said it. Truly, truly. I mean, it's like saying, now I'm telling you the truth. Now I'm telling you the truth. I say to you, just talking to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This immediately gets Nicodemus' attention because he asks, how can this happen? How can this take place? This mere dear man came to Jesus for answers, and all of a sudden he's more confused than he was before he came. Come to Jesus, and I just told him that we believe he is a teacher from God, and all of a sudden he's saying to me, you got to be born again. And he had never heard that phrase before. You must be born again. I got to tell you, folks, I think that's so important to have a moment with Jesus. I give Nicodemus credit. All the confusion in his life, the questions that he had, the things that he was hearing from his fellow Pharisees, the things that he was hearing that Jesus was doing. And I give him credit because he said, I need to talk to Jesus himself. I need to go to him. Now, I don't take much away from Nicodemus that he came to Jesus by night because he just didn't want to be seen with Jesus at this point in time. And all of a sudden, as he sits there in that night, can you imagine that? I believe it probably was a kind of a cool night, maybe a starlit night. Maybe the moon wasn't really bright, but they're sitting there together, Jesus and Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is sharing with Jesus. And then Jesus was sharing with Nicodemus. Although Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was talking about, He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know about this kingdom of God even. And you know, Nicodemus, the first time he hears these words of Jesus, unless one must be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was confused. And I'm so glad that Jesus didn't leave him in his confusion. But Jesus began to talk to him. But Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, unless one is born from the water and the Spirit. You know what he's saying? You must have a physical birth, and you must have a spiritual birth. Now, Nicodemus knew about the physical birth, but Nicodemus thought the spiritual birth came from the idea of religion. And Jesus is going to teach him different than that. He said, you got to have a spiritual birth. You got to have a spiritual beginning in order to enter into the kingdom of God. You see, we are not born with spiritual beginnings. We're born with a physical life, and we have the emotions and all these other things that's a part of our physical being. But then God tells us that we're not just a physical person, but that we are an eternal person. We were made in the image of God. He reminds us that in the Old Testament, and Nicodemus knew that. He reminds us that God wants us to have a spiritual relationship with Him. Nicodemus knew the story of Adam and Eve and how God came to have fellowship with them. And so Nicodemus is confused now. Jesus said, I tell you, you need to be born again. A person's body is born from his human parents, but a person's spiritual life is born from the Spirit. Nicodemus, don't be surprised when I tell you, we must all be born again. Nicodemus, let me explain it this way. The wind blows where it wants to go. You hear the wind blow. The wind blows and you hear it, but you don't know where the wind comes from and where the wind is going. That wind is like the power of the Spirit of God. He said, you got to know that there's a beginning in your life where the Spirit of God has spoken to you, where you sensed His presence. Just like you sense the presence of the wind, you can feel the wind, you can see the effect of the wind. Nicodemus, that's the way the Spirit wants to work in your life. Nicodemus is still confused. How can all of this be possible? Jesus said, you're an important teacher in Israel, but you still don't understand these things. You got to know something, Nicodemus, and then listen to what he says. But you don't accept what I'm telling you. You're questioning what I'm telling you. I've told you about things here on earth, such as how a person is born, but you do not believe me. So surely you will not believe me when I tell you about things of heaven. I'm giving you information, Nicodemus, of why I came and why I am here and why I am the teacher and why I am able to do the things that you can see that I can do. Nicodemus, I tell you, I'm telling you things about heaven. The only one who has ever gone up to heaven is the one who came down from heaven, and that's the Son of Man. So he's telling Nicodemus, I've came down from heaven to share these new truths with you. I've came down from heaven to show you that God's intent all the way through the Old Testament was that one day we could have a relationship with God through His one and only Son that He was going to send into the world. Now, Nicodemus hasn't heard that yet, but Nicodemus has heard enough to know that he understands that something is different. I learned from Jesus that I have a physical life that comes from being born of my parents. But my spiritual life comes from being born of the Spirit of God. I can't bring that about. I can't do that with religion. Religion can't do that. It can tell me about God, but it can't give me that sense of that wind in my life, so to speak, that sense that God is alive within me. Nicodemus, don't be surprised about this. He illustrates it with the wind and says, that's the way the wind works, the same way the Spirit of God works. You can't see the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. You don't know where it's coming from and where it's going. Now, if we listen on the news on Channel 8 or whatever channel you listen to, you know that it's telling us the wind is out of the east, or the wind is out of the north or the south. We can understand that now because we've studied that and able to see that. But Nicodemus couldn't tell. Now, they try to tell us where the wind is going, but you know what? When one of those hurricanes or tornadoes comes, the wind kind of goes wherever it wants to go. And Jesus is using that wind to describe to Nicodemus what it means. And I'm so glad he gave Nicodemus time to think about it. You are an important teacher in Israel, Nicodemus, but you still don't understand these things. I've talked to you about physical things. I want to talk to you about spiritual things. But we got to separate that from what you're thinking of just as far as his religion was concerned. He needed to think on something greater than that. And that is about the Spirit of God coming into your life. The Spirit of God, Nicodemus, telling you that you've had a beginning of a spiritual life. Well, I don't believe Nicodemus still understands that. And so Jesus is going to go on and show him something now from the Old Testament. Now, listen carefully now, because Nicodemus did know the Old Testament. Nicodemus knew all the stories about Moses and how the law was given and the things that God had commanded in the days of old. Nicodemus knew about the story of the nation of Israel in their wilderness wandering as they went headed towards the promised land. Nicodemus could tell you all of those stories. And so Jesus says, Nicodemus, just as Moses was lifted up, just as a snake was lifted up, or Moses told him to lift up a snake in that wilderness wandering because the people were getting bit by snakes and they were dying. So Moses commanded from God that they make a brazen bronze serpent, and they put it on a big pole, and they stand it up in the air, and if you got bit by a snake, the promise of God was that you look towards that bronze snake, and you would be healed. It was all of faith, folks. They're going to be healed if they look towards the snake on the pole. And some people might have said, why would I want to look towards a snake in a pole when I just got bit by a snake? And some did, and I'm sure some didn't, look at the pole. But God was operating out of the operation of faith. It was the idea that that snake, as you looked at that and believed the promise of God, you would be healed. As Moses lifted up the snake on the pole in the desert, Nicodemus, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He just told him the Son of Man came from heaven. Then everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. We're talking about not a religion, how to live your life, but we're talking about getting the privilege of eternal life, Nicodemus. He's reminding him, this one Jesus, when he's going to be lifted up, is going to give eternal life to those who place their faith in him. God loved the world this way. He gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, Nicodemus. I haven't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. I've come that men and women might have a spiritual life. Those who believe in him won't be condemned, but those who don't believe are already condemned because they don't believe in God's only Son. That's the difference, Nicodemus. It's about believing in this one Jesus. It's not even though God gave the Jewish religion. It's not about the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion was pointing us to the time when Jesus was going to come. You know, just as the people of that time, when he's talking about being bitten by snakes, were healed when they looked in, at faith, at the snake on the pole, so you and I will be healed from the bite of sin when we look by faith to the Lord Jesus up on that cross. If he's lifted up, he's going to draw all people to himself. It was hard for this religious man Nicodemus to understand this because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. But for us who God has told that he so loved this world that he gave us his one and only Son, and we know that this one Jesus died on the cross and that him who knew no sin became sin for you and I. I love what is stated in John 3:16, 3:17, and I never use John 3:16 without using John 3:17. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Those who are believing him won't be condemned. But just like in Moses' days, those that were bitten by the snake and they didn't look by faith to the pole, they died. Listen to what Jesus says. But those who don't believe are already condemned because they don't believe in what God's Son came to do. Just think, if Jesus did not come to condemn us, but to save us, then Jesus shares with us what this condemnation is. He said, you know what? If you feel condemned by God, it's because you have chosen not to believe in his Son Jesus. And God sent his one and only Son because he so loved you. He loved you so much that he gave the best that heaven had to offer. There's a Bible verse in the book of 1 Peter say, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that he might die to sin and live to and we might live to righteousness. But by his wounds you have been healed. God saying, it's what Jesus has accomplished on the cross that I want you to know is a part of it. I got a song I want us to listen to, and I just take a little break. High and lifted up, this one Jesus was. And we need to know that he was high and lifted up like that serpent was in the days of Moses in order to bring about healing to each and every one of us. And this is the only way, he tells us, we are healed by all that he went through. Well, let's listen in. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will surely draw men unto me. So as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so high and lifted up must Jesus be. See him on the cross, his eyes of love, looking down on all who stood and watched his shame. As they mocked him and they scourged him, God turned his eyes away. While high and lifted up, he took the blame. High and lifted up, a loving Savior. High and lifted up for all to see. Reconciled to God and man forever. High and lifted up on Calvary. Jesus said, I'll surely come again, that wherever I may be, you will be near. So I'm looking toward the heavens, up to the eastern sky, where high and lifted up, he shall appear. there to meet a bride adorned and waiting. As all of heaven's angels start to sing, nevermore to be the lowly man of Galilee. Where high and lifted up we'll see the King.
High and lifted up in all His glory. High and lifted up in robes of white, coming back to rule and reign forever. High and lifted up on clouds of white, high and lifted up in all His glory. High and lifted up in robes of white, coming back to rule and reign forever. High and lifted up, high and lifted up, high and lifted up is Jesus Christ.
High and lifted up is Jesus Christ. I love that. I love that because that's what Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus. I'm high and going to be high and lifted up when I die upon that cross. You know what it tells us about the Lord Jesus later on? One of the writers says, Him who knew no sin became sin for us. It says Jesus became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. And God has raised Him up after that death and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everyone should bow and confess that Jesus is the Lord. You know, that's what God wants us to understand. That's what God wanted Nicodemus to understand. And He's put it in His Bible so we can learn from Nicodemus's experience. Nicodemus doesn't understand all of this, and he's having a difficult time with it. But nevertheless, Nicodemus is hearing what God wants him to hear. I want to do something that I think is important because, you know what? It doesn't really tell us as we read about the story of Nicodemus whether he believed Jesus that night or not. It doesn't really say anything about that. But this is what Jesus said to them. He said, you know what? We condemn ourselves. He said, the reason we condemn ourselves is that Jesus had told him that this is why people are condemned. The light came into the world, and yet the people loved darkness rather than light because their actions were evil. People who do not want to do what is wrong hate the light and don't want to come to the light. They don't want their actions to be exposed. But now listen, he's saying this to Nicodemus. But people who do what is true come to the light so that the things they do for God may be clearly seen. See, he's saying people love darkness more than they do light. But Nicodemus, those that are truly understand what the kingdom of God is about, those that have this born-again spirit, those that know something inside of them gives them that evidence that they have been born spiritually, that they have a spiritual beginning. Nicodemus, they come to the light and they do things when the darkness is all around. They do things that bring light to others. I want to share, there's a couple of times that happened in Nicodemus's life after this. The next encounter we have with Nicodemus in the Bible is his function in his official capacity as a member of the Sanhedrin. And they considered what they were considering in a meeting one night, what to do about Jesus. So the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest the Lord Jesus. Then the officials came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, why haven't you brought this one Jesus, The officer said, "No man ever spake like this man." Then the Pharisees answered them, "Are you also deceived? Have any of you rulers of the Pharisees believed in Jesus? Have you believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus, he's the one who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, a Pharisee, said to them, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has risen out of Galilee." Nicodemus is standing up for the Lord Jesus. The second time that this man stood up like this is found in the book of John, chapter 19, verses 38 through 40. After this, Joseph Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but he was a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jews, he came to Pilate that he might take the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission after he found that Jesus was dead. So he came and he took the body down from the cross. And Nicodemus, that one who came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of that mixture. They took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen cloth, and put the spices on the body of Jesus and prepared him for the way the Jews prepared a person for burial. And then they buried him in the tomb of Nicodemus. I share these two times with you because of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. He said, "Do you understand that when one comes to the light, it doesn't matter the darkness around him. He comes to the light, and he's showing that his deeds are brought about by God." And Nicodemus is doing that. Nicodemus, that evening, when sitting with Jesus, I believe he was born again. He had a spiritual beginning. He had a religious life, but it wasn't a spiritual beginning inside of him. He was doing it from the outside. The biggest thing of difference between religion and psychology and all of those kinds of things, it works from the outside in. But Jesus, dear people, works from the inside out. He gives us that spirit within us that says, "I believe God." And Nicodemus believes so much that they are taking the body of the Lord Jesus down from the cross, and he's came prepared to make the body ready for burial. That's something pretty special, folks, and you and I need to hang on to that because it gives us the encouragement that Nicodemus had come to that point where he believed, and he had received this idea of being born again. Now, there wasn't anything that you could see that would be different, excepting Jesus says that when these people are born again from the Spirit within and God's working within their lives, they will come to the light and they will stand up for Jesus and they'll want to do some things for Jesus and let everybody else know, "I believe in this one Jesus. That's why I do what I do. I believe in this one Jesus." You know, this new birth is not the main thing. It's the main thing as far as we need that. But he's telling us, you know, you got to understand that when you're talking about being a spiritual new birth, then you're just like a baby that's first born. A baby is first born. There's going to be the childhood days of that baby. And we're going to see that Jesus wants to go on and describe the kingdom of God. He's not talking to Nicodemus now. He's talking sometime later. And he wants to bring a boy across the point that you have to be born again. But at the same time, he wants to bring across the point that there's something inside of you to let you know that God wants you to do what you're doing. So one day the disciples came to Jesus and they had a question. They had been asking about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. They come to understand what the kingdom was. But then he wanted to know, who's the greatest person in the kingdom of God? And at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God, Jesus? Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. I love Jesus for his way of teaching. He called a little child, probably a 4 or 5 year old, said, go stand with the disciples. Then he said to them, it's about the same thing he said to Nicodemus when he said, truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth. Jesus says, I can guarantee you of this truth. Unless you change and become like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Whoever comes like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a child like this in my name welcomes me. See what Jesus is saying now? He's saying, you know what? When you come to this one Jesus, you kind of have to leave behind some of that religious teachings that you have. You kind of got to leave behind some of those ideas that you've added. You know what the religious leaders did in their day? They added a lot of laws that God didn't add. They said, religion ought to be this and ought to be this. And so they added a whole bunch more to it. And it became traditions. And Jesus is saying it's about a relationship. You know what you got to do? You got to become like a little child. You know, he mentioned the idea of being born again. Now he's saying in this spiritual life, you have to start out like a little child does. I got to tell you, he said, even if you welcome one of these little children into your life, it brings about the thing that I'm talking about. I love Jesus' way of teaching. He calls a little child, has him stand amongst the disciples and said, you must become like this little child. There needs to be change in your life. You don't become concerned about who's going to be the greatest. You become concerned about how God is working in your life and causing you to grow like this child will grow. You need to grow like the child is growing. You know what? I love the way it was spoke of Jesus. One day when they said this about Jesus, he was growing up as a child and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. That's recorded in Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in wisdom, just like a child did. Jesus emptied himself of all the authority and the power that he had in heaven. He laid that aside, and he increased in wisdom. He increased in stature. His body grew. But as he increased in wisdom, he also increased in favor with God, showing his relationship with God. And he also increased in favor with man. You may ask me, how do you grow spiritually? How do you grow spiritually like the child grows automatically, it seems like? How do you grow in wisdom? And how do you grow in favor with God? And how do you grow in favor with man? You know what Jesus is saying? He said it later through God's word when he said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of God's word, that by it you may grow up in your salvation. I love that term, grow up in your salvation. You see, when you're born again, you have the beginning, but you just can't stay there. We got to grow. We got to grow in our individual life. If indeed you have tasted and you see that the Lord is good. He's saying, just keep dwelling and feeding on this one, the Lord Jesus. One of my favorite sayings, and my wife wouldn't agree with me saying this, you know, as far as in all the actions of my life. But there's a Bible verse that says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And she uses that verse on me sometimes. Because you know, in every man and every woman, there's a little boy, a little girl. in me, every now and then, that little boy wants to shine out, you know. And he's reminding us that God wants us to understand that we have to grow. We have to grow. We can't always respond and act like a child. We need to grow in wisdom, and we need to grow in favor with God, and we need to grow in favor with man. Got a song I want us to listen to. It says, "What's missing?" It's like Nicodemus when he came to Jesus. He knew something was missing in his life. And if I'm talking to you this morning and you're listening, and you feel like there's something missing in your life, you know, I believe it's like a puzzle. I believe there's a part inside of each one of us that only Jesus can fill. You ever put a puzzle together and you got the last piece to put in? You know, that's the way Jesus is, that piece that makes the whole puzzle complete. And that's what God wants to do in your life and my life. He wants us to realize there's a place for God in your life. And when you open your heart to believe in Him and have faith in Him, this one Jesus will move into that place that only He can meet. And I got to tell you, then you know inside of you that you have been born again, because you sense that God's Spirit is inside of you and doing something. So we'll listen to this song. And I trust this morning's message would touch your heart to the point that maybe you want to sit with Jesus and say, "Jesus, I need to be born again. I need a beginning in my life of my spiritual life. I have the physical birth, but now I need the spiritual birth. So Jesus, come into my life and into my heart. Forgive me of my sins and become my Savior." Well, time for me to go. So let's listen to this song. And this song is going to remind us that this is something that's tremendously important in our life, because Jesus fills that spot that is best special just for Him. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.
Nicodemus had the knowledge of a true and living God. He knew the law and taught all those around. But something was missing in the hollow of his heart. So he came to Jesus and he found that what's missing here is the joy that comes from knowing Christ. What's missing here is a peace we can't explain. What's evident is the emptiness you're feeling deep inside. The answer should be clear. He's what's missing here. You say your life's a puzzle and you do not understand why the pieces seem to never fall in place. So you fill your life with treasures, but still you cannot find the missing piece your puzzle needs today. Well, what's missing here is the joy that comes from knowing Christ. What's missing here is a piece you can't explain. What's evident is the emptiness you're feeling deep inside. The answer should be clear. He's what's missing here. Over and over you've tried. You've stared at the pieces and cried. For all that you need, there's just one missing piece. If you'll just look up, you will find that what's missing here is the joy that comes from knowing Christ. What's missing here is a peace you can't explain. What's evident is the emptiness you're feeling deep inside. The answer should be clear. Something's missing here. The answer should be clear. He's one. what's missing here. Yeah, he's what's missing here.